On Monday, March 6, 2017, I'm calling to order the council, Borough Council of Edgewood to order, please. Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Here.
Dr. Wallace.
Here.
Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Dr. Petrola. Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the mayor and the solicitor are also in attendance. If you would all please stand with me to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This time we'll entertain items from the floor. If you would please come to the podium and write your name and address, please.
I put my name and address up already.
If you'll tell us who you are, though.
Of course, yes. Okay. My name's Susan Schuster. I've been a resident of Edgewood for 20 years. And the item that I'd like to bring to the council's attention is that I live at 327 East Swissvale Avenue. And my neighbor behind me is 1008 Walnut Street. And over the last 15 years, she has let her property deteriorate, which obviously affects my property and the value and what I have to look at. And we had taken some measures, my partner and I had taken some measures to contact the borough to ask about her complying with borough ordinances, that all of us in Edgewood have to do so. And it's been since June that we started the process, and we haven't exactly had any advancement in our process at this point. So we wanted to bring it to your attention. I have some a timeline of what we have done as far as contacting the borough and some of the responses that we had gotten back. It went to the owner, and then we contacted the borough again, and they had claimed that they sent a citation to her or a notice to her, and she responded back after the second time that she was going to be getting some bids, and that was in October. So here we are in March, and we still don't have any advancement in her complying with, fixing her property. Just so you understand the deterioration of the house, and what I'm living next to is the paint is falling off. The wood is rotted, the windows are rotten, the screens are ripped and still in place, but they're ripped out. There's weeds growing in the gutters. The gutters are around the porches and up along the roof. The porch gutters are disconnected from the porch roof. The weeds are overgrown throughout the house. I've took it upon myself to even fix up some of her bushes out front to make it somewhat presentable and to clean up. Her fence is falling over. I had replaced a piece of the fence, and she hadn't done anything with it. It's now falling over again. The last that we understood that it was going to be with the magistrate, and our understanding is that the magistrate is so backlogged with cases that we are now just waiting for a response. But again, this has been since June, so I wanted to bring it to council attention to see what can be done at this point. I think it's just reasonable that everyone in Edgewood follow the ordinances that are established.
Yes, we have been in touch about this property. I think you've spoken with Mr. Miller about it as well. The borough has had several citations against this property dating back, I want to say about a year and a half that we've been dealing with this property. It is at the magistrate. They have put a warrant out for her. They are trying to serve her that warrant so that we can get her to show up in court. She has not picked up any certified mail that was sent to her by the borough or by the magistrate. I did follow up with the magistrate, I want to say about 2.5 weeks ago, on this property to ask them the status of it, and it was I asked that it be assigned to a different sheriff to try to get the warrant out to her. So it is at a state right now where there is a warrant out for her arrest based on the condition of the property. Unfortunately, we have to follow the process that the magistrate sets up, and it doesn't work as quickly as we certainly would like it to, and I know you would as well. But we are following our procedures and doing everything we legally can to get her to come into compliance with the borough ordinances.
Okay, well, I appreciate you sharing that info with us.
One more moment. So at this point, will we expect a phone call back from you? How will you include us in the process so we know that we're going after this?
I can certainly reach out to you if we are able to get that warrant to her and get a court date set up. I believe Mr. Miller has your contact information. So I can get that from him, and if anything does occur, we'll be in touch.
So if she doesn't respond to this request here, then you won't get back to us. I need to get back to you in, say, 4 weeks or so, or the borough, to find out where that
is. I certainly can, if you would like, but as I said, until a sheriff is able to reach her, there won't be anything that occurs, but I can certainly occasionally reach out if that's...
I can call. So,
okay.
So in 2 weeks, you're saying that you just sent it to...
I don't think it would be... I reached out to the magistrate 2 weeks ago asking that another sheriff be assigned to hand out the warrant.
That in terms of the news?
Excuse me. The thing that I want to impress upon you is that I think we should include you in the process. And my name is Tim Berry. I'm the borough solicitor. What we need you to do is to come and testify. We need you to come into court and testify, because it's one thing for borough representatives to appear in court and to try to cite somebody, and the magistrate might have a little sympathy for the property owner. It's quite different when a neighbor comes in and says, you know, I have to look at this and talk about it. And obviously the only thing you would need to do is to tell the truth and talk about the situation. But, you know, we can definitely...
But until we have a court...
Yeah, we need a court date. Once we have a court date, we'll let you know.
Let me ask you, the building inspector, the code inspector, where will they be in this process when, as you mentioned, you suggested that we come and testify? Where will they be in this process?
They will be in the courtroom.
They'll testify as well?
Yes.
So you're suggesting that we come and testify?
Yes.
I think it's helpful... when the neighbors who are impacted show up at court and testify and also say, you know, we've trimmed the bushes, we've done, you know, what we can, and, you know, this is what we're living next to. Your words are much more powerful. We have our laws and we have our codes. But when a magistrate hears also the impact, the personal story that's with the neighbor, as well as the personal story with the person who owns the home, it really does help balance things in a way that our code enforcement officer, who will, you know, quote chapter and verse of, you know, what's been done and what the problems are, it makes it more real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It puts us, though, a little bit in an awkward position. The official is the code inspector. And
he's going to be there. I mean, we'll do whatever we need to do. We're just letting you know the keys of the kingdom here, if you will.
But I just want to say, it puts us as neighbors in an awkward position that we come and we testify. And what I understand what you're saying, that it adds more weight. I'm just saying it does put us in a little more, because our expectation was it would be the building inspector who would look at the property and then go in.
Let me explain the process to you. We go before the magistrate. We have a hearing. The magistrate makes a decision, whatever the decision is, either to fine him or not to fine him. Normally, the magistrate will fine the person. and then they file an appeal downtown. And then I have to go, because it's the court of common pleas then. And actually, that's when I would want you to testify, at that level, because the judges at that level are very much attuned to the people, not to Tim Berry, the solicitor, or our building inspector. But they want to know how this impacts upon the people. You can choose not to do that. I understand. I'm not asking you. I'm not going to subpoena you. You know, you either come or you don't come. But I'm just telling you, in order for us to impress upon all concerned, including the magistrate and the court, that this is a serious situation, we need evidence. That's how we get evidence, is to come, people come in and testify. And otherwise, it takes a lot longer because it just gets prolonged. So I wanted you to understand that process. That's just the process that we have to deal with.
We are following the process and the code, we are following the process as it is. We can't do more than follow the process. That's...
I understand you, sir. Okay. We'll get back to you, 4 weeks or so?
Sure, yeah. I will continue to follow up with the magistrate. Great. I don't know why they're having such a difficult time contacting her. She lives there. They should be able to serve her. So I will keep on them to see if we can get that to happen. And as soon as I hear anything from them, I'll let you know.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Does she live there?
I'm sorry?
You see her? She does live there?
She does live there. She's never there, but she leaves early in the morning, and she doesn't come back till late at night, so that could be why we can't reach her.
Yes, sir. You'll sign in and with your name and address and state your name for us.
Yes, ma'am. Alan Alexander, 1127 Savannah Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA. I like to say Pittsburgh, PA. I have just one little question about what just transpired. I know in Maryland, if you send somebody a certified letter, it's deemed to have been served. So how do they justify disregarding certified mail?
That's not the case here. When they don't pick it up at the mail at the post office and sign for it, it's considered that they have not received it.
Jesus, that's bad. I was just wondering, I'm on the RSCA board as a liaison to this August committee here. August? Anyway, they asked me to check, and I did call or email Julie about some of the trash cans that are in front of the businesses in Regent Square are pretty decrepit. But does anybody know who's in charge of, getting new trash cans? If there's some, do the businesses have to? I mean, I just don't understand. It's kind of like they're out there and nobody seems to claim them. But they're
throwing trash cans on South Braddock. I'm sorry, I don't.
On Braddock, right in front of the businesses in Regent Square.
I don't believe I got an email about this.
Yeah.
So the borough does. It's my understanding those were purchased by the RSCA, but the borough does maintain them and collect the trash in them. We just replaced last week the trash can under the Parkway ramp by Greendale and South Braddock. We replaced that can last week. If they are in need of repair, we can certainly price out those trash cans, but I believe that they're the same on both sides, and the association bought those.
Right. So somebody can maybe, take a little recce through there and see what's going on. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Well, thank you for being here. There being no other items from the floor, Mr. Wainwright, is that a motion to authorize payments for bills for goods and services, please?
I move to authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee, from the General Fund in the amount of $31,142.08, and from the Sewer Fund in the amount of $116,158.50, for a total of $147,300.58.
Second.
Seconded by Dr. Wallace. Any questions or comments, Mr. Wainwright?
A large major expense came out of the sewer funds. It was a partial payment for the 2015 sewer project.
2015?
Yes, it's called the 2016 sewer project, but yes, it's the project that we are currently under contract for.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Bastini, you call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Committee action, first reading of ordinance 10. Got new glasses, you couldn't tell. 1060 Shade Tree Committee, first reading, Dr. Petrola.
Borough of Edgewood, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, ordinance 1060, an ordinance of the Borough of Edgewood, County of Allegheny, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, establishing the Shade Tree Advisory Committee, setting forth the number of committee members and outlining responsibilities of the committee.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Barry, do we need to do a full reading?
Pardon me?
Yes, ordinance.
We need to do a full reading.
The full reading.
We typically, you know, and I've always said that this is the borough's process and not state law.
Okay.
That we have at least one reading of the ordinance, but that's the borough's process. You can read it by title only if you. I think that
by title only for the first reading, because there may be changes to it, and that way the second reading can be when it's been amended.
That's
what I said. All right. I'll make sure that you're here, though, Dr. Joel.
Should I withdraw?
We have to read it. I won't let Mr. Wilson or anyone else have to do that.
Okay. All right. So we've got a motion and a second.
We had a motion and a second. Questions or comments?
I wanted to comment that this ordinance is the result of community members who have been active in wanting a shade tree committee, wanting to serve on the committee. We are committed to our urban forest, and so the General Government Committee, the Community Services Committee, took a look at similar community shade tree ordinances. We pulled parts of those ordinances that we liked and came up with this ordinance. It has been reviewed by Mr. Barry, and we're hopeful that this will start a volunteer committee that will benefit our urban forest.
I want to thank Mr. Wainwright for shepherding this ordinance. I have one question.
Sure.
Pardon?
I didn't think you liked trees. Yeah, weren't sure.
Under section 4, where it says authority and limitations, in accordance with the Borough Code of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, final decisions with respect to the cutting or removal of trees within the borough for any reason, including disease, circumstances, blah, blah, blah. Is this any tree within the borough, or is it the street trees? Because if it's street trees, we need to put street there.
It's only borough-owned trees.
Okay, that's not what this says.
Okay.
I like you a lot, but I don't want you telling me what I can do with my American Plains or my oak tree that
I
will
say within the borough and owned by the borough.
Yeah.
Are we good with that?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Is that good? You can just say any tree owned by the borough.
Because okay. That would be.
Yeah, because it would be within the borough, or we wouldn't own it.
All right. No, we paid particular attention in drafting the ordinance to having the authority of the committee lie only on borough-owned trees. So that's the trees that are located on borough property, in borough parks, or in the strip of grass between the sidewalk and the street. So even if street tree is a word that sometimes is used to apply to private owned trees that are in the front line of somebody's house, but this does not apply to those trees. Those still remain the responsibility and at the discretion of the property owners.
But this shade tree committee would be a resource for residents. With respect to taking care of their trees and proper pruning and so on. These are the people who came here to speak belong to or had training with Tree USA or so they were knowledgeable about trees. So it would be these people are willing to be a resource to residents, but would be an advisory committee for the borough. Yes, Mr. Wainwright.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's an advisory committee and not a commission, so their advice is not binding on the borough, correct?
That's right. That's right. It's a committee, not a commission.
Right. If a tree gets hit by a car and it needs to immediately be removed, you can still do that without consulting the committee first.
Anything else? Any other?
Well, one comment, and that is that when the tree is planted, that's the most important part of the process of keep an eye on the trees, because there's some trees are not suited at all for planting in that strip, especially the trees whose roots are on the top and push the sidewalk up and break it up.
Or roots that go down into their sewer lines.
Yeah.
Which is
right. That's what I'm I think most looking forward to of this committee is a little bit of guidance on where to plant trees. We have to remove a lot of trees that are dead and dying. But I think that they'll be good at helping us determine where to replant trees. If a tree failed in a particular location for a reason, we don't want to waste our resources planting it in that location again.
I think the timing on this is good too, because we are losing many of the big old oak trees. So there's a lot of streets with hardly any trees left on them.
Any other questions? All right, we've got our first reading. If you want to look through this and we'll advertise also.
That's the next motion.
Okay.
Yep.
So, Dr. Petrola, do you want to please put forth the motion to advertise?
No, I'm sorry. We still need to call roll.
Oh, did we?
I'm sorry.
All right. Sorry. My bad. Ms. Bastidi, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the first reading of Ordinance 1060 passes. Apologies. Dr. Petrola, would you please read the motion to advertise for Ordinance 1060?
I move to advertise Ordinance 1060, creating a shade tree committee.
Second.
Questions or comments?
This will be advertised in the Tribune Review paper on Friday. In the East section, it will also be available for review at the Borough Building and on our website.
Okay. Is the Trib delivered here?
I'm sorry, the Post Gazette.
Thank you. Okay. That was the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
Okay, so it will be in the Post Gazette East section.
This would be a committee of weekend residents.
We'll talk about that. Ms. Bassini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. This committee would be individuals who would send in a letter of interest and would be interviewed by Borough Council and selected to be on the committee. So, yes, there are residents who will be part of this committee.
My question would be, well, can residents ask questions about planting something in their own yard, what trees might be
yes.
better, what, you know?
That's correct. Oh. The committee would be a helpful resource to residents.
As well as
an advisory committee for council with respect to the borough-owned trees that, you know, are getting up there in age and so on. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Volunteer Fire Department, Mr. Reynolds, good to see you, sir.
Good to see all of you tonight. I really don't have much to report, and that's I guess that's a good thing. But I wanted to come, and we're making progress on the fire apparatus committee, and I think Mr. Wainwright, I think Mr. Wilson, you guys got the full view of a bunch of fire trucks, probably more than you ever thought you'd want to. But I'm here to take questions, so if there's anything you all want to ask, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions? How about responses for overdose?
So we've actually had, I think, three or four for the month of February. It wasn't all that terribly much, and I think we haven't had any for the month of March yet. So, yeah.
Day six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just an FYI, apparently there's some new heroin coming through that's down Fayette County moving this way. Carfentanil or something like that's insane.
Yeah, the elephant fentanyl.
Yeah, it's like apparently 3 or 4 doses of Narcan to wake these people up. So, just
thank you.
It'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be looking out for it. So.
What's the stuff that they're talking about? That the safety responders have to wear gloves now.
We always wear gloves. You mean for patient
the police for
because of the fentanyl that's being
it's the fentanyl.
Oh yes,
that's
yeah. So
on the hands.
It's carfentanil. It's about 100 times more potent than fentanyl, which is an incredibly potent opioid, and if you get it through your skin, it can be transdermally contracted. You can actually absorb it through your skin and have the effect. Fentanyl actually makes patches that you can put on for pain relief. This stuff is much, much more potent than that.
Yeah. So you can just, guys have dropped a couple times just being around it.
Yeah.
Be safe out there.
A lot of good stuff.
Narcan.
Yeah.
Where do you get, how is that supplied to you?
So there
the police, does the police also have Narcan?
Do you guys have Narcan? No. So, I mean, we do, but Physician General Rachel Levine signed a blanket prescription for any resident of the state of Pennsylvania if they so chose to get Narcan for, if they have a loved one who's addicted or, for whatever reason, that you can go and if you pay for it, you can get Narcan from any pharmacy. So for us, because we're using the Narcan as a provider, we're trained in how to apply it. We have all the we get restocked with it, and we're licensed by the state of Pennsylvania. So.
My understanding is that the price has gone up a lot recently.
Yeah, just like what Mylan did with the EpiPens, the maker of Narcan, Naloxone, has done the same thing. They've jacked their prices up. I don't think it was to the same magnitude of EpiPens, but it's pretty high. They're really being opportunistic about this, because it's not just Pennsylvania; it's every state. You know, everybody has been trying to get their arms around this, and Narcan has been a central tool in that strategy to help save lives. So.
So it doesn't come out of your budget or a cost to the volunteer fire department.
It does. We pay for it, but when we do use it, we get we work with the hospitals and we work with EAPS. To get replacements, and then they backfill, and they pay for theirs.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's not free for us. So, but we've used it quite often. So,
how much are we talking about per dose, per shot?
You're gonna ask that question. I honestly don't. I actually don't know. But I can certainly look it up for you.
I'm just curious. It's okay.
I just recently talked to a person who purchased it. I think she paid $144 for a double dose.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you.
Being here.
Good night.
Yeah. Recreation report, Ms. Bastianini.
Thank you, Madam President. Our youth basketball season wrapped up this weekend with their regular schedule. Next weekend there will be playoff games and their end of year party. We are thankful to our volunteers who make this season possible. We have 75 kids playing this year. Our annual Easter egg hunt will take place on Saturday, April 8th at 12 noon at Koenig Field. If anybody on council would like to help the Easter Bunny beforehand, she would appreciate it. We are also helping our friends at the Western Pennsylvania School for the Deaf. Their field is going to be under construction this spring, and so they will be holding a special Olympic track event at Koenig Field in May.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we're happy to help them out with that. That's all I have for recreation.
Thank you. Water Authority report, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you. The Water Authority met. The McKelvey Street was bid out, and that'll be done this year. Just to give you an idea, it's not that big of a project, but it's $285,000 was the cost, and that does not include paving. The Water Authority is going to do the paving under their major contract. Saves them money rather than having to bid. The company that's doing it is called Advanced Contracting. Pierce Park, I forget their new name, gave their pension report, and their rate of return was 7.8% over the past 3 years, so they exceeded the actuarial projection, which is really good for the pension plan. They only had 32 breaks in the month of February, which contrasted to 123 in June. That's about it.
Any questions for Mr. Fuller? Mr. Fuller. COG report, Council of Government, Mr. Wilson.
Did not meet.
Borough Solicitor report, Mr. Berry.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to have a brief executive session with Borough Council to discuss a potential litigation matter.
All right, so we will have an executive committee or executive session following the general meeting here. There will not be action, Mr. Berry?
No.
There will be no action as revolving real estate. Planning Commission, Mayor Cook.
Thank you, Madam President. I was, unfortunately, out of state Ms. Pastorini, did we...
The Planning Commission met last Tuesday evening. They met with Pat Avolio, who is the Director of Real Estate Development for Giant Eagle and Gitgo. He presented a sketch plan for the land development of Parcel D to the Planning Commission. They had some questions. A sketch plan is kind of an informal back and forth, and they do plan to submit a preliminary plan design for the March Planning Commission meeting. So the Planning Commission will be meeting in March and April as well.
Thank you. Borough Manager Report, Ms. Bastini.
Thank you, Madam President. Tomorrow I am meeting with our engineer to discuss possible locations for ADA parking at the Dixon Park Dog Run. We are required to have at least one ADA parking spot if we do any updates to that facility. We also have to have an ADA acceptable walkway from that parking spot to the dog run. So it has to be a flat surface. And so we are going to be discussing the best location and the most cost-effective way of doing that. So once we know where the parking can go and where the trail will have to go, then we can move forward with hiring a company to install the fencing. I'm also meeting this week with Nine Mile Run Watershed Association to share with them our public education, outreach, and involvement efforts that the borough has undertaken to comply with our MS4 permit. They are impressed with what Edgewood has put out and are hoping to implement some of our best practices on a watershed-wide basis. So we're hoping to work with Swissvale and Wilkinsburg on those sections of the MS4 permit, public education, outreach, and getting people involved in keeping our streams and our storm system clean. The borough continues to comply with its interim consent order agreement for sanitary sewers. Elkasan, who is also under their own consent order, has conducted flow monitoring throughout their service area, including here in Edgewood. They did this work last year, and we coordinated with them in that effort. Elkasan has analyzed the information they gained from the flow monitoring and have identified areas for flow isolation studies. They've identified some areas in Edgewood where they think a flow isolation study is warranted. I am meeting with Elkasan on Thursday to learn exactly where they are proposing to do flow isolation studies in Edgewood and how we can coordinate with them on this effort. This is something that we are doing with Elkasan as part of Elkasan's consent order, not the borough's consent order. But the information that they gather will be shared with the borough and will help us when we go to do further wet weather planning in the future. They're hoping to move quickly with their flow isolation studies. They want to get it done by the end of April. Weather conditions need to cooperate in order for that to happen. They need high soil moisture, but it can't be directly after or before a rain event. It takes one night. They do it overnight when people aren't doing laundry or flushing their toilets as much. So I'll provide more details to council once I meet with them, but it looks like we will be having at least one flow isolation study in Edgewood. We're also working with the borough's pension actuaries on our 2017 valuation report. We've provided them with all of the information that they need on our pensions for 15 and 16, and we'll have an updated valuation report and funding ratio this year, probably in the early fall. If you remember, this is a report we update every 2 years in the odd-numbered years. In 2015, the borough's non-uniform pension plan was 124% funded, and the police pension plan was 74% funded, giving us an overall funding ratio of 87. We're really hoping to get that number over 90. So we are hoping to get that information to you as soon as possible, but we'll definitely have it this year. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Ms. Bastianini? New business. I just want to remind council, Mayor, do you want to say anything about our Western Pennsylvania School for the Deaf in Edgewood?
So far...
I see your name here.
Yes, but we've not met. But the idea is that the School for the Deaf has been in the community for quite some time, and there are those of us that are familiar with the activities that they do with and for the community. The Edgewood Foundation has been one of the benefactors, as well as the borough. And they've tried various other activities, such as their community day, to bring residents in to have a look-see. And this is another outreach idea that they thought would go over well in order to introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves to people in the community that might not know what all they offer, and to show their commitment to the community of Edgewood.
So this Western Pennsylvania School for the Deaf hosts an evening in Edgewood. Is April 7th from 6 to 8, and the ticket price is $40. It's a fundraiser, also get-together. I think you all received an invitation. I wanted to bring that up. Banner Community lunch.
Yes. So as we reported at the last meeting, Edgewood Borough was again recognized by the Allegheny League of Municipalities as a banner community. We're proud to be recognized for a third year in a row. The borough will be presented with the award from ALUM on March 31st at 10 a.m. at the City County Building. If you would like to attend, please let me know. There's also a luncheon afterwards for Banner Community members at restaurant downtown. So if council would like to attend, please let me know and I can RSVP for you.
All right, anything else? The Rivers Club.
The Rivers Club.
I did ask Mr. Wainwright if he would be interested in being our representative on the Regent Square Safety Committee, Regent Square Civic Association Safety Committee, and he agreed. So we did. I did let Mr. Epitropoulos, who's the chair of that committee, know. And I want to thank you, Mr. Wainwright, for being a representative for Edgewood Council on that committee, so that we can coordinate things and make sure that information is disseminated correctly. The next council meeting will be the 20th of March. That's all I have. Does anyone else have anything else before we go into executive session? All right, we're going to go into executive session. We have not set up a committee of the whole meeting yet. We'll do that at the next meeting when everybody can look at their calendars. There were too many conflicts with everybody whenever we did not have it then. But thank you for bringing that up. Thank you.